Have you ever seen a memory performer on television reciting a long number? Maybe you've seen me on television. Or maybe you've read about these guys that can remember telephone directories. What about that guy from Rain Man that could remember the order of sticks on the floor? He did a telephone directory and cards and numbers. And you're probably wondering how this is possible. Now, I mentioned at the beginning that last year I was able to remember 1,780 digits. That's a random sequence of digits in just about 60 minutes. How is this possible? Well, the system I'm going to give you, originally I designed to allow me to memorize gigantic numbers. And I use this to break records and to win the World Memory Championships. But somewhere along the line, when I was developing this, I began to realize, well, you could use this stuff to remember a whole range of things. Things like telephone numbers, appointments, statistics, equations, birthdays, anything like that. And if you're a student, maybe atomic weights, atomic numbers, history dates, anything involving a number. So why is it, if you think about it, it's so easy to remember faces, maybe not the names, but the faces and pictures, but for some reason, when it comes to numbers, we're stumped. You know, our brains have got something like 300 billion neurons. We're very clever people. And yet our memory span for numbers is about 6 or 7 digits. So why is this? It seems a bit unfair, doesn't it? Because we live in a world of numbers, and without them, life would be chaotic. Take telephone bills, gas bills, appointments, exam results, train timetables, weights and measures. It goes on and on and on. Bank statistics, account numbers. We live in a world of numbers. Everything has to be tallied, quantified, and reckoned. So numbers count. Now, if I give you a number, let's say 34286492, it doesn't register, does it? You've probably forgotten it already. Now, if I give it some sort of meaning, if I say, look, I've got some good news for you. Sit down, just relax. You've won the lottery. Okay. You've won a record 34,286,492. Now, doesn't that number all of a sudden have some sort of resonance? It means something. So the only way we can understand numbers, really, is if it has some significance. Otherwise, numbers are unintelligible, inanimate, they're monotonous, they're positively dull and forgettable. And the reason for that is they don't have a character. So now you're asking yourself, well, how come this guy can memorize 1,780 digits? Well, the reason for that is that I actually give numbers a character. I breathe life into them. And this is the heart of a system that I've christened the Dominic system. Now, if you're one for acronyms, you take the first letter, you can call it the decipherment of mnemonically interpreted numbers into characters. All right, I'll say what that is in English. When I see a pair of numbers, I don't just see numbers, I see a person. So, for example, when I see the number 10, I see Dudley Moore. Now, why Dudley Moore? Well, because he was in the film 10. When I see the number 23, I think of Bing Crosby. Why Bing Crosby? Well, if you take the second and third letters of the alphabet, that gives you B and C, Bing Crosby's initials. Let's give you another one. If I see the number 07, what do you think of? James Bond? Because that's who I see. Another one, 72. I think of George Bush. Now, why George Bush? Well, the seventh letter of the alphabet is G, and the second is B, George Bush's initials. So what's happening here is that every pair of numbers from 00 to 99, so that's 100 of them, I see a person for each of those pairs of numbers. Now, the other thing I do is each character, each personality has their own unique prop and action. So in Bing Crosby's case, number 23, I have him decorating a Christmas tree because I keep thinking of the film White Christmas. James Bond, he's wearing a white tuxedo and he's carrying a gun. And how about Dudley Moore? Well, I associate Dudley Moore with playing the piano. He's a great pianist. You can have a look in the guidebook, and I've got a code there which will enable you to translate numbers into people. But I'm going to give you the code now. It's just 10 numbers translated into letters. So listen very carefully. One is A. Well, it's the first letter of the alphabet. 2 is B. 3 is C. 4 is D. 5 is E. 6, slight change here, 6 is an S, because it's got a sort of a sexy sound. Okay, now we go back to normal. 7 is G. H is 8. 9, well, that's an N. It's a sort of N sound. And 0 looks like the letter O, so it's an O. So now, once you've got those letters in your head, once you know how to translate them, you can get all sorts of combinations of initials for people. So, take the number 33. That translates into CC. So now you've got Charlie Chaplin. How about the number 43? That gives you DC. How about David Copperfield, the magician? So what I want you to do, and this isn't imperative, but it's a great exercise, in the next few days or coming weeks, just have a look at the guidebook and start to associate pairs of numbers with people. Now, this could be a whole range of people. You could have royalty, politicians, family, friends. You could have fictitious characters. You could have Alice in Wonderland to represent a pair of numbers. It's a deeply personal thing. For instance, the number 57 is a friend of ours, a friend of the family, called Teresa. Now, when I was born, this woman, Teresa, came along and helped my mother out to raise the family. And why 57? Well, that's the year I was born. I always associate Teresa with 57. So let's say for the number 49, you might have a favorite sports personality from the 49ers. So this is where it starts to get fun. Now, apart from anything, it's a great exercise for the brain. Now, if you can't find a direct association between a number and a person, then use that code. You can decode the numbers into letters. For instance, 53 to me is Eric Clapton, EC. Now, I mentioned that he should have a prop and an action, so Eric Clapton is always playing the guitar. So why do I have every pair of numbers as a person, not an object? Well, I said before that I've developed these techniques and systems over time. The techniques that didn't work, I've thrown out. Actually, originally, each pair of numbers used to be an object. So, like, the number 35 would be a book. I think the number 47 was a vase for some reason. The number 19, an umbrella. But what I found was I was finding these difficult to remember when I was trying to memorize long sequences of numbers. Then I threw in the odd person, and I found that it was far easier to remember the people than it was to remember the objects. And the reason for that is that objects tend to be dull as well. I mean, you can shout till you're blue in the face at a vase, and it won't flinch. Now, if you shout at a person, well, they're liable to shout back, or they might even throw a vase at you. So people are versatile, flexible. You can put them into any circumstance, any location. Now, that's the key to it. So let's have some more examples. And remember, we need to put props and actions into this as well. Take the number 08. Now, that translates into Oliver Hardy, O and H. Now, his action prop is swinging a plank. How about the original comedian, Charlie Chaplin, number 33? His action is bending a cane. What about the number 18, 1-8? To me, that's Alfred Hitchcock, and I always associate him with the film Psycho, so I have him having a shower.